Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Monday, March 8th, 2010. This is Sam Minter. I've got Yvonne Bo with me, as usual. And this is Curmudgeon's Corner.
Zello.
And we were just talking a couple seconds ago about what we had to talk about, and we were both sort of like, yeah, I don't know. We'll talk about something.
It's been, you know, I don't know about if you feel like this, but it's been a pretty lame week. I mean, really, if you're talking about news or anything happening, I mean, sure, some stuff has happened, but did any of it really grab your attention? I know a lot of people right now are watching the Oscars.
Yeah, I couldn't give a crap.
Neither can I. I mean, the Oscars are such an underwhelming moment. I mean, I must admit that one of the things that I'm thinking about is the fact that it used to be that the movie that used to win Best Picture usually was pretty obscure. It was picked really because it used to be a pretty good picture and not because of any commercial,
it would be partially
successful.
Yeah, it would be some picture that was a good movie that perhaps not many people had seen that would actually get momentum after it won the Oscar to sort of be
right.
This is something we should all see, or, it's really good, blah, blah, blah. And, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know whether that's romanticization of the Oscar or whether that's, really what was. But it's certainly, I don't anymore get any sort of sense of, if I want to figure out what's a really good movie I should watch, I should look at
the Oscars.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it just doesn't do it anymore. So it's been, and the last time I watched the Oscars, which was a long, long time ago, they were long, they were dull, they were boring. I mean, my God, how long can you drag out the fucking show? So I don't know. I mean,
and they'd always go long too.
Yeah. And they went long, like
they'd
really
scheduled
long.
For 3 hours, and they'd end up taking four or something,
Yeah. So, I'm just not really, that did to the thing. So that was, my thing on the Oscars. I mean, the other stuff I read about, there was an article in the Economist talking about how Obama has been far tougher on terrorism than anybody wants to really give him credit. He's probably, killed or captured more terrorists in this last year than Bush did.
And the latest on Sunday was an arrest of an American Al-Qaeda guy in Pakistan. Reports of who he was flip-flopped over the course of the day Sunday. Yet another person being
American Al Qaeda, suppose some weird thing like that. I kept seeing that. Yeah. So,
the thing is that, and I think this was the theme of, I did not read the Economist article, but I've read some commentary along these lines. I think the general idea is that, sort of behind, without really gaining a lot of attention, there've been, actually a lot more drone attacks on Al-Qaeda and Taliban leadership. A bunch of them have been killed. We've been arresting a bunch of them in various places as well. And, it just sort of momentum sort of quietly behind the scenes without getting a lot of attention, without, being flashy about it, just sort of keep chugging along doing the work, I can't, fault that approach all that much. I mean, certainly the old Bush administration of approach of, yelling loudly all the time,
I guess some groups of people, I'm not even going to try to identify them because it's some group of people obviously felt very comforted by that because it's like the chest thumping. Mm-hmm. Ah, the war on terror, it's happening out there. We're, look at all the yelling about it. You know, I mean, I guess it made some people happy, but I don't know. So anyway, so that was, you see, but I that's not very exciting. I mean, I don't know. Why was last week so unexciting? I mean, what the hell?
Well, let's see. There was, what else happened? There was, the Iranian President Ahmadinejad said some things again.
Yawn. I mean, for Pete's sake, I mean, Jesus, you know, again, oh, gosh, you know, Ahmadinejad said something. Oh, great. You know, I mean, I'm like, I don't know, you know, I mean, this guy has been just, you know, I think I was at the gym, and I think I saw the blurb that I think you're talking about. He said some really outrageous thing. I can't remember what the hell it is.
Something about 9/11 being made up or something.
Right, that was it. Right. And I'm like, I saw it, and I'm like, oh, yawn. I mean, really. I mean, gosh, whatever. You know, next time he'll just say also that the sun doesn't really exist. You know, it's just, it's all a figment of our imaginations. You know, that there is no such thing as a water. I don't know. I mean, he'll say anything for Pete's sake. I don't know. So, I mean, really, him saying that, I don't know. I mean, the earthquake in Chile was over a week ago, right?
Yep. And so we talked about that last week. And I mean, there've been, you know,
I mean, I could add that I did talk to some of my friends in Chile. Okay. You know, I mean, I had some Facebook updates, but I actually, you know, I did manage to call up a couple of my friends in Chile and got through on them on the first call on their cell phone.
How's everyone doing?
I mean, they're doing fine. But it's just a lot of them. One of them sent me pictures of their offices, okay? And the building itself on the outside is fine. You know, the building resisted the earthquake, but it's like somebody just grabbed the building and, like, shook it, like, you know, just took it like, you know, one of those little sand things that you shake, you know? Mm-hmm. It just shook it all up, and everything inside the building was a mess. But you know, this building was structurally sound. All the doors were there, the main walls, but like everything else inside the building was just all messed up. You know, just a lot of, you know, not being really able to go back to the office and work. So, I mean, that was Tuesday. So I don't know. A lot of people still not being able to really get back to work.
Mm-hmm.
That was the main thing, I guess. But, you know, but they were all fine. You know, there were, I mean, they didn't tell me there weren't any real shortages of anything. And I mean, for the most part, after a slow start from the military and relief agencies, everything started flowing pretty fast. So, you know, the Chilean military, I mean, you know, not for nothing. I mean, they're still a pretty organized bunch. So after they did slow start, they got stuff going pretty fast. So.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break and let's see if we can figure out anything else to talk about. We'll be right back.
Okay.
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by No-Tel Motel.
Newborn Haze by Wendy Wisner. And sometimes I think of my own mother, how we lay in the margarine winter light, girl skin to girl skin, her purple nipple grazing my mouth, hands stung with onion, hair floating across my face, the ceiling fan ticking, ticking, and my father fiddling with the camera, slides of me falling onto the windowsill, his olive hands carrying me through the black and white haze of the apartment. Nowhere to go, nothing to do, the three of us, half drunk, hungry, naked, breathing together for the first time, for the last time.
For more like this, go to notelmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday.
Okay, we are back, and
There was an election in Iraq.
Oh, yeah, there is an election in Iraq. Do you have anything to say about it? I don't. I haven't even, you know, I am vaguely aware that there was one.
What do I have to say about it? Nothing in particular. Probably just that there was.
We did get one piece of feedback.
Oh, we did. Okay.
Do you remember this?
Oh, that's right. We had I remember that we got it, but I unfortunately don't have it in front of me. I have to pull it back up.
So I will bring this up. Give me a second here. It's actually a feedback from probably a few weeks previously, but it for some reason got stuck in my junk folder, and didn't see it for a while. It is from one of our loyal listeners, Matt, and he asked if coming up towards April 15th, we could talk a little bit about taxes. And he actually did have a specific tax question, which I'll bring up in a second. But before we get to that, Yvonne, do you want to, any general thoughts on, this year's tax season and anything, what's going on, how people are feeling about it, other than the usual sort of taxes suck kind of thing?
Well, there weren't any major changes, that could really cause headaches or certain delays. I think it was last year that we had this late extension of the AMT fix, for example, some other things that affected getting returns out quickly to people. But there wasn't anything, majorly changed that really made an issue to anybody. I already started on my taxes.
I haven't touched mine yet. Oh, and by the way, that's Alex in the background. I'm taking care of him while the other people are out of the house. So he's playing in his little playpen thing and getting upset right now. So anyway, continue. Sorry.
I already did a first draft in which I actually owe my, for the first time in, I don't know, a long time, I do owe money. I do owe money basically because I switched jobs. And I had to do some transactions at the end of the year to generate it, additional taxable income that I wasn't normally would not have been. Would not have happened. So, I guess that Alex is upset about my tax payments, and I am too.
Yeah.
I actually had noticed that. I mean, right now, I had my withholding higher and a whole bunch of things. Jesus, I'm having to pay. I mean, I think that already this year, between what they withheld and what I've got to pay right now, by April 15th, I will have wound up paying in taxes $30,000. Okay? Mm-hmm. In 4 months. I'm like, ouch. I mean, that's a big hit, I mean, so I guess he's not being...
Yeah, that's okay. So, wait, let me, blah, 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 blah. I will,
now he's
happy. He's bouncing up and down. But anyway.
Oh, okay. There you go. There you go.
So let me move forward to. Yes, hi Alex. I'll pick him up in just a second once I start you on your question. So this is the question from Matt, and I don't know whether you'll be able to do this off the top of your head.
I got the question in front of me, and I'm reading it right now. And he's talking about.
So let me read it out loud to the listeners. So the question is in regards to the homeowner's credit.
Right.
I lived in my old house from 2002 to 2009. I closed on my new house on September 29th, 2009. From what I can tell, the long-time resident credit of up to $6,500 comes into play only if you bought the new house after November 6th, 2009. But when he went through TurboTax and filled out that I closed on the new house on September 29th, they still gave something like a $2,500 credit, which I'm assuming was lower than the $6,500 because of it being adjusted because of how credit is phased based on AGI. So do I submit my TurboTax returns along with a copy of the settlement statement with it listing the credit that TurboTax is giving me? Second part of the question, if in fact I'm not allowed to get any of this credit this year because of my settlement date, I was told from a friend, not an accountant, that I may be able to get the credit on next year's taxes. If that is true, should I hold off putting the credit on my taxes until next year? Thanks for your help, Matt. So I'm going to go take care of the baby. You answered a question. Hold on.
Well, I'm going to have to research this because I'm a little bit, I mean, I'm, I'm not sure. I've sold and bought a number of houses over a few years, but I'm like, that credit I hadn't taken into consideration. And I'm like,
$2,500 sounds like a prorated amount or something.
Well, yeah, but the one thing is that the 65. I'm not sure why. My thing is that I was wondering he was just trying to, if he's talking about the new buyer purchasing the credit, is he what he's talking about? Because I was a little bit confused, because I mean normally there is no, I mean, the standard rule for you sell a house, say you made a profit, is that $250,000 of whatever you sell, whatever you earn on the house, is exempt $500,000 for a couple. That's the standard exemption. You pay taxes on anything above that. I'm guessing that he's talking about the new buyer credit that I got to be honest with you.
That's not what he's saying. I mean, maybe he's using the wrong name, but it sounds like something completely different. What he calls it is the long-time resident credit, which seems to imply something that kicks in due to the length of time he was at his old house before selling it.
That's why I'm like a little bit surprised. I gotta admit that I've done a couple of transactions. I have not taken that into consideration in any of them. So, I'm going to look it up and try to read the publication on it to see if the,
Okay, so Matt, more later, stay tuned.
Okay.
Are we going to get back today?
No. This is related, by the way, to the first time home buyer's credit. So my understanding was correct. This is related to the credit, because there was an $8,000 credit, okay, which was they were doing for first time home buyers. But I guess if you're a long time resident, there was a credit of $6,500 for those who aren't qualified first time home buyers. A buyer must have owned and used the same home as a principal or primary residence for at least 5 consecutive years of the 8-year period on the date of purchase of a new home as a primary residence. So I'm not losing my mind. I was on the right track. Let me see. Okay, there's a limit. The limits are based on the purchase price is one of the things. So if the value exceeds $800,000, it doesn't qualify for that. I believe there's a phase out. Okay, the reason why the credit, according to this, may be reduced is because there is an income phase out, okay? So, there is a list why the credit was reduced. It didn't have so much to do with the date you closed, but basically just because probably your AGI, depending on where it was creating the phase out over a net amount. So that's what this is looking at right now.
What would that November date that he's talking about come from? Is it an annual anniversary or something?
It's just that the phase out. They move the phase out ranges. Okay, it says here that the credit is phased out for individuals with modified adjusted gross incomes between $75,000 and $95,000. For married couples filing a joint return, the phase out range is $150,000 to $170,000. Effective November 6, 2009, the phase out ranges start at $125,000 or $225,000 for married couples. So the reason why there was a different amount is simply because the date of the transaction was before November 6th, so therefore the face out, he would have been able to actually get if he had closed a couple of months later, he would have been able to claim the full credit because it moved the ranges of the phase out to higher levels.
But because he closed earlier, he's only eligible for the partial.
That's right. That's what I'm
Waiting till next year would make no difference at all.
It would make no difference. So the only thing is that if you had moved the transaction, but definitely it's not going to make a difference on, you know, I mean, if you're making a transaction at a different time, that's all it is.
So basically, they changed the tax laws to make it more favorable in certain circumstances. Effective transactions that happen after November 6th. So the fact that he made his transaction before November 6th gave him less favorable terms, but TurboTax probably has it right here. And he's due to get the $2,500, not the $6,500.
That's correct.
And trying to claim it next year instead of this year, you'd just...
not going
to
help.
You'd actually end up having to... It would still apply for this year, so you'd have to revise your...
amend your old return.
It wouldn't apply in next year anyway. So
that's pretty much the bottom line. Yep. That's pretty much it. So, I mean, I must admit that that's an area where I mean, I hadn't looked at that tax credit too close. I mean, my area more familiar. I mean, I do a lot of people with personally, you know, what I help with the taxes, especially with people with small businesses, side businesses. Try to help them with that, and you know, that's the one thing where I guess is the most complicated, especially with real estate, and more for real estate and for investment purposes, not the primary home, where that always gets complicated too. I mean, you know, just a tip for people, if you know, one of the things that is if you've had, especially with people who were tried to become real estate geniuses over the last couple of years, I always, when you know, if you keep your second property as an investment, you have to defer. Taking, for example, say the property wasn't being rented out. Okay, a lot of people still kept it as a investment property and weren't able to deduct the interest expense as it was happening at that time, because they're considered passive losses. So you couldn't really, on a passive loss, you couldn't really take it until you actually sold the piece of real estate or you earned enough income against it. Now, you know, I switched a lot of people that had a second property that was an investment to take the damn interest, okay, and reduce the property taxes and whatever. Because if you weren't being able to rent it and you were sucking that thing down, damn it, at least take the tax credit on those, okay? At least you'll get some money back from Uncle Sam to help you with it. So that's one of the things that I've been doing with certain people with their taxes to help them out this last year. So anyway, all right. So that's my talk on the taxes. Anything else that we've got, Sam? Are we really that tapped out this week?
We may be pretty tapped out. I mean, yeah, healthcare is going on still. There's, you know, more... more rumors about IMAX and next, not IMAX, the next iPhone having a camera or whatever, and we're less than a month away from the iPad. No, front-facing camera.
Chat. Well, they said that they put a date on the iPad launch.
April 3rd. For the Wi-Fi only edition, and, AT&T, somebody from AT&T came out with a quote that, you know, they're not worried about the network load because they figure most people just use Wi-Fi on the iPad.
Yeah, fat chance.
You know, I'm sure a lot of people will buy the Wi-Fi only version, but the people who buy the 3G version are going to use the hell out of that 3G.
Yes, that's really wishful thinking AT&T.
I'll tell you, you know, I'm on my iPhone, you know, half the time when I'm at places that have hotspots, I still use the 3G because
I mean, I do have the Wi-Fi on my iPhone normally, so whenever I'm coming home, for example, so I'll connect to the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, no, I'll connect at home. I admit that. I mean, for a while I didn't because I was having issues with coverage in certain parts of my house, but I fixed that at this point. And so, yeah, I have that. But like, if I'm out at a random place, you know, that happens to have Wi-Fi, but it's one of those Wi-Fis where you have to go to the homepage and then click and agree on the terms of services and blah 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 blah. You know. Most of the time I won't bother because I'm not doing anything where the speed matters, but even if I am, I'm like, that's a pain in the ass. Now, a couple of, you know, a couple of places where I have done it, and now my phone remembers it, and it does it automatically, I admit that, you know, but, I use the 3G, you know, and I,
yes,
you know, and I stream video on the 3G, I stream audio on the 3G, you know, I use it all the time, and if I had an iPad with 3G, you can damn well bet I'll be sitting in a park somewhere using it. You know,
looking at my bill for the phone, I'm looking at the, I got my nephew right now, I have him, I do admit I have him in a punishment box. He does not have an iPhone. He has my old Windows mobile phone. Okay. All right. Hey, you know, it was only the last one I got. It was brand new in November. Okay. It was a Samsung Jack that I got in November. So, you know, it's way too damn new to get rid of. Okay. So, you know, so besides, he wrecks phones every 6 months. So I did promise him, though, that since I don't have a stream anymore of Windows mobile phones coming to me, that the next phone after this one finally dies, and he tries to keep them running, will be an iPhone. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's been doing pretty good with keeping this one alive for a considerable period of time. So I went and I'm like, I was looking at the data usage, okay, that we've got. And, you know, me versus my wife versus my nephew with a Windows mobile phone. Now, while my nephew will out text message me by a factor of 10, okay, yeah. I definitely, on the data side, completely crush both my wife and my nephew. I mean, my data usage, versus theirs is just enormous. I'm guessing that looking at that data usage, that I must be one of the users of AT&T bitches about that hogs all the fucking data usage. Because I really use the fucking hell out of the data. Based on AT&T's metrics of it, I'll tell you this. So,
yeah, well, you know, I all of these wireless providers, first of all, I agree that at some point, the rational thing here probably is metered usage. Set some reasonable price and yep. then, you know, pay by the kilobyte or something. The problem is everybody who set up a metered usage plan so far has had absolutely outrageous prices. But
right. The prices are unreasonable. I mean, yeah, absolutely. But, and you can't – you can never see what the hell your usage on a regular basis to know, right. I'm about to hit the limit. You know, it wasn't easy to look at anyway.
Well, you know, it should be like electricity. There shouldn't be a limit, but there should be and none of this tiered crap either. It should just be like blah cents per gigabyte or whatever. And let them go. And then, you know, people will meter themselves on, you know, high bandwidth stuff if it costs them money. But
sure.
But, you know, fundamentally in the end, though, you know, the reality is that people are moving from, you know, wired data usage to wireless data usage. And the expectation, if it's not there already, will be very soon that I can do everything I can do on my wired cable modem on my damn phone. And if I can't, there's something wrong. And so the networks are a long way from being able to handle that. But they need to get there, and they need to get there fast, because that's how people are going to expect to use these services.
Yeah. Well, I do think that – I mean, I don't know. I do feel that because of the way that mobile technology is versus Wi-Fi or even like a wire connection, that I always feel like for some reason there will always be a gap. You know,
there probably always will, but you know, there always will be some sort of gap, but it needs to, the gap can grow by the wired stuff getting faster than it is now. But basically,
that's right.
The wireless right now needs to be close to what the wired is right now. You know, and
yes.
maybe there always will be a gap, but. I mean, here's the bare minimum everybody's going to be expecting. They're going to be wanting to stream HD video, you know, on their wireless devices, you know, and it, you know, if you can meet that bar, you're probably pretty good, you know, and above and beyond that, you know, there undoubtedly will be all sorts of applications for that, but they're not around yet. But right now, that's what people are going to want. They're going to want to be able to sit there on their little iPad, or the next generation iPad that's even higher resolution, and stream high quality video reliably and consistently all the time. You know, so.
All right. Well, okay. I think we're done. We beat ourselves to death. We're done. Okay, guys. Sorry. Okay. We'll try to be more creative next week. Yeah, we really
maybe something will actually happen. I don't know. And yes. Of course, people may write in, if people write in and tell us about all the things that actually did happen this week that we're completely ignoring.
That we did talk about. Yes, that would be nice.
Yeah, so anyway, we're done. Okay. Thank you for joining us. If you have any questions, comments, thoughts, please email at ablesme@ablesme.com. Yeah, hi, Alex. That's ABULSME. Or comment on the blog posting when I announce this episode. That's fine, too. And we'll talk about your comments next week. In the meantime, tell all your friends to listen. Thank you, and goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Yvonne.